Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So today we're reading from the sixth canto, first chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled History of the Life of Ajamil. And I'll be doing two texts today, because text 37 is somewhat short, and it also goes nicely with the next text, text 38. Sri Shuku Vacha Ityukte Yamadutaiste Vasudevokta Karinaha Tan Pratyurchu Prahasyedang Mega Nir Radayagira. Sri Shuku Vacha Ityukte Yamadutaiste Vasudevokta Karinaha Tan Pratyuchu Prahasyedam Mega Nirhradayagira. Please chant. Vasudevokta Karinaha Meganiradayagira. Matajis. Shisuku Vacha. Hidukte Yamadutaiste. Vasudevokta Karinaha. Tan Pratyuchuk Prahasedam Mega Niradayagira. Sri Shuku Vacha. Sri Shukadeva Goswami said, Iti, thus, Ukte, being addressed, Yamadutai, by the messengers of Yamaraj, Te, they, Vasudeva Ukta Karinaha, those who are always ready to execute the orders of Lord Vasudeva, being personal associates of Lord Vishnu, who have attained the liberation of Salokya, Tan, unto them, Pratyutuhu, replied, Prahasya, smiling, Idam, this, Mega Niradaya, resounding like a rumbling cloud, Gira, with voices. Translation purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Sri Shukadeva Goswami continued, being thus addressed by the messengers of Yamaraj, the servants of Vasudev smiled and spoke the following words in voices as deep as the sound of rumbling clouds. Purport. Yamadutas were surprised to see that the Vishnudutas, although polite, were hindering the rule of Yamaraj. Similarly, the Vishnudutas were also surprised that the Yamadutas, although claiming to be servants of Yamaraj, the supreme judge of religious principles, were unaware of the principles of religious action. Thus the Vishnudutas smiled, thinking, "What is this nonsense they are speaking? If they are actually servants of Yamaraj, they should know that a Jamil is not a suitable candidate for them to carry off." Text 38. Sri Vishnuduta Uchuhu. I'll just read this myself. Yuyang vai dharma rajasya yadi nirdesha karinaha bruta dharmasya nastatvang yacha dharmasya lakshanam. Translation. The blessed messengers of Lord Vishnu, the Vishnudutas, said, "If you are actually servants of Yamaraj, you must explain to us the meaning of religious principles and the symptoms of irreligion." Purport. This inquiry by the Vishnudutas to the Yamadutas is most important. A servant must know the instructions of his master. The servants of Yamaraj claimed to be carrying out his orders, and therefore the Vishnudutas very intelligently asked them to explain the symptoms of religion, of religious and irreligious principles. A Vaishnava must know these principles perfectly well, because he is well acquainted with the instructions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Supreme Lord says, "Sarva dharman parityajya mam ekam sharanam vraja." Give up all other varieties of religion and just surrender unto me. Therefore, surrender unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the actual principle of religion. Those who have surrendered to the principles of material nature instead of to Krishna are all impious, regardless of their material position. Unaware of the principles of religion, they do not surrender to Krishna, and therefore they are considered sinful rascals, the lowest of men, and fools, bereft of all knowledge. As Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita 7:15, "Namang duskritino muda prapadyante naradama mayaya parityagana asuram bhavam ashritaha." Those miscreants who are grossly foolish, lowest among mankind, whose knowledge is stolen by illusion, and who partake of the atheistic nature of demons, do not surrender unto me. One who has not surrendered to Krishna does not know the true principle of religion, otherwise he would have surrendered. The question posed by the Vishnudutas was very suitable. One who represents someone else must fully know that person's mission. The devotees in the Krishna consciousness movement must therefore be fully aware of the mission of Lord Krishna and Lord Chaitanya, otherwise they will be considered foolish. All devotees, especially preachers, must know the philosophy of Krishna consciousness so as not to be embarrassed and insulted when they preach. Om Gyanatimarandasya Agnanjana Shalakaya Chakshur Umilitangena Tasmai Sri Gurve Namaha Namang Vishnu Paraya Krishna Prasai Bhutale Srimate Paladananda Swami Tamane Namang Vishnu Paraya Krishna Prasai Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Tamane Namaste Sarasati Deve Gauravani Vicharane Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatyate Sacharane. So first of all, I'd like to thank everyone for being here. It's always nice to render service to the Vaishnavas. And also, on a side note, unrelated to the class, I was requested to announce that this is a new boom arm for the microphone. So instead of just taking it and forcing it up and down and twisting it and contorting it according to our desire, just forcing it to do what we want it to do, rather we should kindly take the time to unloosen it here, or unloosen it here, put it in the position we want, and then tighten it. Otherwise we go through about 4 or 5 of these every year. And they cost about $20 every time. So, just to save Krishna's Lakshmi. Hare Krishna. So, when I was reading this verse, I noticed a number of things just jumped out at me right away. One really amazing thing is how polite the Vishnu Dutas are. See, the Vishnu Dutas, they saw the Yamadutas improperly executing their activities. And for people in materialistic consciousness, the usual reaction is extremely different. Usually people, they're so full of pride, they're all puffed up, and they come off from an egoistic perspective, of a mightier-than-thou sort of perspective. I'm better than everyone else. By my greatness, I can enforce what everyone else should be doing, and I can push everyone around, and everyone has to listen to me because I'm better than you. So even though these Yamadutas actually are better than the Yamadutas, the Vishnu Dutas are better than the Yamadutas, but they're not lording it over them. The Vishnu Dutas, they're eternally liberated souls, and the Yamadutas are conditioned souls. But the Vishnu Dutas, they're treating them with all respect and humility, even though they know that what they're doing is improper. You know, like Prabhupada mentions in the purport for the first text that we read, what is this nonsense they're speaking? If they're actually servants of Yamaraj, they should know that a Jamil is not a suitable candidate for them to carry off. They know it's nonsense what the Yamadutas are doing. But yet, rather than saying, oh, you rascals, you know, and then kick them out of there and cut their heads off, and, you know, which they could have easily done, they're extremely powerful entities. But instead, what do? They say, if you're actually servants of Yamaraj, please explain to us what the meaning of religious principles is and the symptoms of your religion. They very politely approach and ask them very kindly. By asking this question, they're effectively asking them to identify who they are. Because any servant of Yamaraj, as was pointed out in the purport, should know the purpose and mission of Yamaraj. And they should know the guidelines by which to follow. And so this behavior shows first-class Vaishnava behavior. In this connection, I was also reminded of a pastime that happened earlier in the Bhagavatam. We went through it maybe a couple years ago. It was from the third canto, 16th chapter. The chapter where Jai and Vijay, the doorkeepers of Vaikuntha, are cursed by the sages, the four Kumaras. And this section here is extremely important. It's a very short section, and it's the section in which Lord Vishnu has come, Lord Narayan has come, to see what ruckus is going on at his gates. He knows that the four Kumaras are there, and he knows that they have been offended. And so he comes and he gives this beautiful, wonderful explanation of what's happened. And I highly recommend that everyone go back and reread that. It's only 10 texts long, but it's extremely powerful. What he's saying is incredible. Due to time constraints, I won't be able to read all of it, but I'll read a couple translations. So in text 4, Lord Narayan says, to me, the Brahmana is the highest and most beloved personality. The disrespect shown to my attendants has actually been displayed by me because the doormen are my servitors. I take this to be an offense by myself. Therefore, I seek your forgiveness for the incident that has arisen. So this is an extremely important point in considering our actions as aspiring servants. Just like the Vishnu Dutas when they approach the Yamadutas, They were coming as Lord Vishnu's direct representative, hence Vishnu Duta. And so they're operating with Lord Vishnu's desire directly in mind. And they're trying to represent Lord Vishnu directly. This is like different countries have ambassadors. So that ambassador is empowered to fully represent the interests of the country. Consequently, that ambassador tries to act according to the highest level of conduct and standard, and act according to the interests of the country that he's representing. So in the same way, the Vishnu Dutas and the devotees of the Lord, they should act with this understanding that I'm devoting my life to Krishna, and therefore Krishna is viewing it that I'm a direct manifestation of him. You know, so these attendants, these doorkeepers, Jai and Vijay, they were operating in Krishna's interest, in Narayan's interest. And so, when they offended the Kumaras, out of Lord Narayan's compassion and his humility, he took it that he himself was making these offenses. So that's why it's extra important that as devotees we have to be extremely careful in our dealings. Because we're directly representing Krishna. In the next text, Narayan says, a wrong act committed by a servant leads people in general to blame his master. Just as a spot of white leprosy on any part of the body pollutes all of the skin. In the purport to this, Prabhupada mentions that a Vaishnava therefore should be fully qualified. As stated in the Bhagavatam, anyone who has become a Vaishnava has developed all the good qualities of the demigods. And there's 26 qualities of a devotee, and these are enumerated in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. And so those are the two important parts from that portion of the Bhagavatam I wanted to mention. Because it really emphasizes exactly what sort of responsibility someone who is aspiring to be a devotee has to shoulder. It's an immense responsibility, but it's joyfully performed. So that's why as Vaishnavas, as aspiring Vaishnavas, we have to be so careful in all of our dealings. An interesting note on that also. It'll take me too long to find the exact thing. I'll just move on. So in that regard, the question comes up, well, what exactly does it mean to be a devotee? You know, what exactly are these qualities? And so in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, these qualities are enumerated. They're elucidated by Lord Chaitanya when he's instructing Sanatana Goswami. So I'll read a few of the translations from this because it lays it out very clearly. It starts it's from the Madhya Lila in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, chapter 22, and it's texts 57 through 83 is the really important part. And so text 57, because you're my very dear friend, quoting from the Gita, I am speaking to you my supreme instruction, the most confidential knowledge of all. Hear from me this, for it is for your benefit. Always think of me and become my devotee. Worship me and offer your homage unto me. Thus you will come to me without fail. I promise you this, because you are my very dear friend. Although Krishna previously explained the proficiency of executing Vedic rituals, performing fruitive activities as enjoined in the Vedas, practicing yoga as cultivating jnana, these last instructions are most powerful and stand above all others. So first it's outlining what exactly it means to be a devotee. So a devotee is one who devotes his activities for Krishna, worships Krishna, offers his homage and obeisances to Krishna. Text 60, if the devotee has faith in the strength of this order, he worships Lord Krishna and gives up all other activities. As long as one is not satiated by fruit of activities and has not awakened his taste for devotional service by Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu, one has to act according to regulative principles of the Vedic injunctions. So this is describing Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti. Oftentimes there's different contentious people who claim, well, Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti, that's just spoiling the whole thing. Everyone should act according to Ragmarg Bhakti. Forget that whole Vaidhi thing, it just spoils the real mood. But no, this isn't the case. That's not the Shastric injunction. The Shastric injunction is to act according to Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti as long as we're, one, not satiated by fruitive activity, meaning that we're not a karmi, but at the same time, we haven't awakened a real taste for devotional service yet. Because one can only come to this Ragmarg Bhakti, or the path of spontaneous devotion, when we have a spontaneous taste for devotional activities, namely Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, Padasevanam, Archanam, Vandanam, Dasyam, Sakyam, Atmanivedanam. Only when we have a taste for these nine processes of bhakti yoga, of devotional service, can we actually engage spontaneously in devotional service on the Ragmarg. Until we achieve that platform, until we're actually getting that taste, we have to extremely strictly follow these rules and regulations, of these principles of the Vedic injunctions. That's Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti. But another point on this is that even when one is on the Ragmarg, Prabhupada explains, that one still follows the rules and regulations, the Vedic injunctions, simply to set an example for everyone else. Because if you're operating on the spontaneous platform and you're doing things that are against the Vedic injunctions or that's inconsistent with the rules and regulations, you'll set a terrible example for everyone else. Because everyone else will see your lack of sadhana or your strange activities, and they'll be thinking, well, this person's engaging like this, why can't I engage like that also? Because people who should be on the Vaidhi Bhakti platform, they tend to imitate those that are around them. So if they see other people acting on some higher level but without that understanding, then they'll start practicing some bogus speculative process. Next text. Shraddha is confident, firm faith, that by rendering transcendental loving service to Krishna, one automatically performs all subsidiary activities. Such faith is favorable to the discharge of devotional service. So another reason why I'm going over these different aspects of what it means to be a devotee is because this is what Prabhupada says in the end of the last purport that I read from the text for today. Prabhupada said, all devotees must know the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. In other words, all devotees must be qualified to be a representative of Krishna. And so to be a representative of Krishna, we have to manifest all these qualities within ourselves, and we have to know what it means to be a devotee. By pouring water on the root of a tree, one automatically satisfies the trunk, branches, and twigs. Similarly, by supplying food to the stomach where it nourishes the life air, one satisfies all the senses. In the same way, by worshipping Krishna and rendering him service, one automatically satisfies all demigods. A faithful devotee is truly eligible candidate for the loving service of the Lord. According to one's faith, one is classified as a topmost devotee, an intermediate devotee, or an inferior devotee. So now we'll explain these three different classifications. One who is expert in logic, argument, and the revealed scriptures, and who has firm faith in Krishna, is classified as a topmost devotee. He can deliver the whole world. One who is expert in logic and in understanding the revealed scriptures, and who always has firm conviction and deep faith that is not blind, is to be considered a topmost devotee in devotional service. One who is not very expert in argument and logic based on the revealed scriptures, but who has firm faith, is considered a second-class devotee. He also must be considered most fortunate. He who does not know the scriptural and arguments very well, but who has firm faith, is called an intermediate or second-class devotee. One whose faith is soft and pliable is called a neophyte. But by gradually following the process, he will rise to the platform of a first-class devotee. One whose faith is not very strong, who is just beginning, should be considered a neophyte devotee. A devotee is considered superlative or superior according to his attachment and love. In the 11th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, the following symptoms have been given. A person advanced in devotional service sees within everything the soul of souls, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. Consequently, he always sees the form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead as the cause of all causes and understands that all things are situated in him. An intermediate, second-class devotee shows love for the Supreme Personality Godhead, is friendly to all the devotees, and is very merciful to neophytes and ignorant people. The intermediate devotee neglects those who are envious of devotional service. A prakriti bhakta, or materialistic devotee, does not purposefully study the shastras and try to understand the actual standard of pure devotional service. So Prabhupada is wanting us to go beyond a prakriti bhakta. Prabhupada is saying that all devotees, especially preachers, must know the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. So prakriti bhaktas, they're not very well informed about the philosophy of Krishna consciousness because they don't purposefully study the shastras and try to understand the actual standard of pure devotional service. Consequently, he does not show proper respect to advanced devotees. He may, however, follow the regulative principles learned from his spiritual master or from his family who worships the deity. He is to be considered on the material platform, although he is trying to advance in devotional service. Such a person is a bhakta praya, neophyte devotee, or bhakta bas, for he is a little enlightened by Vaishnava philosophy. A Vaishnava is one who has developed all good transcendental qualities. All the good qualities of Krishna gradually develop in Krishna's devotees. One who has unflinching devotional faith in Krishna, all the good qualities of Krishna and the demigods are consistently manifest. However, he who has no devotion to the Supreme Personality Godhead has no good qualifications because he is engaged by mental concoction in material existence, which is the external feature of the Lord. All these transcendental qualities are characteristics of pure Vaishnavas, and they cannot be fully explained, but I shall try to point out some of the important qualities. So in this next text here, it'll describe all 26 qualities of a devotee. Devotees are always merciful, humble, truthful, equal to all, faultless, magnanimous, mild, and clean. They are without material possessions. They perform welfare work for everyone. They are peaceful, surrendered to Krishna, and desireless. They are indifferent to material acquisitions and are fixed in devotional service. They completely control the six bad qualities, lust, anger, greed, and so forth. They eat only as much as required, and they are not inebriated. They are respectful, grave, compassionate, and without false prestige. They are friendly, poetic, expert, and silent. Devotees are always tolerant, forbearing, and very merciful. They are well-wishers of every living entity. They follow the scriptural injunctions, and because they have no enemies, they are very peaceful. These are the decorations of devotees. It is the verdict of all shastras and great personalities that service to a pure devotee is the path of liberation. By contrast, association with materialistic people who are attached to material enjoyment and women is the path of darkness. Those who are actually devotees are broad-minded, equal to everyone, and very peaceful. They never become angry, and they are friendly to all living entities. The root cause of devotional service to the Lord, to Lord Krishna, is association with advanced devotees. Even when one's dormant love for Krishna awakens, association with devotees is still most essential. So that section was very nice because it not only defined what a devotee is, what are the qualities of devotee, but also how to advance up this progression, up this scale, these different grades of devotion. As it mentioned in the last verse, association with advanced devotees is the root cause of all advancement in devotional service. Without association of advanced personalities with advanced devotees, it's not possible to make advancement in Krishna consciousness. It's just not possible. Association with devotees is the most important factor in spiritual life. It's mentioned in so many different places in the Bhagavatam. Even in the Uddhava Gita, in the 11th canto of the Bhagavatam, Krishna emphasizes to Uddhava that by association with advanced devotees alone, you can go back to Godhead. It doesn't require great learning. It doesn't require great austerities or penances. Just by associating with an advanced devotee. For instance, Narada Muni. Before he was born as Narada Muni, he was the son of a maidservant. And during Chaturmas, the rainy season, these bhagwats visited the house of his mother and stayed there for the duration of Chaturmas. And she served them very nicely throughout their visit. And Narada Muni, he was watching the whole thing, and he would participate to what extent he could, considering he was a little child. And he very respectfully asked these bhagwats if he could take their remnants. And so by their mercy, he became infected with the same consciousness that they have. And so he became an extremely advanced great devotee. Now he's Narada Muni. It's described that Narada is the giver of bhakti. It's by the mercy of Narada Muni that people in this material world, this particular universe, develop bhakti within their heart. That's what an exalted devotee he is. And so that's why we have to be extremely careful in our dealings. We have to realize that as aspiring devotees, we're representing Krishna. And we have to be very careful with our activities. We have to consider, am I doing this out of my mental concoction? Am I doing this out of my pride? Am I doing this out of my false ego? Am I just pushing other people around? Am I abusing other people? Am I lording it over other people? These are not the qualities of devotees. Just see how the Vishnudutas treat the Yamadutas. With all respect, even though they were, in one respect, offenders. Because they were trying to drag off a Jamil. And a Jamil is technically not qualified to be dragged off by the Yamadutas. But the Vishnu Dutas, they don't come in and just, you know, start pushing around the Yama Dutas and saying, hey, you know, get out of here, you nonsense, you know. Before I, you know, I mean, they had swords and all kinds of powerful weapons. They could have done anything they wanted with those Yama Dutas. And they didn't come in just, you know, pushing and shoving and say, hey, you know, listen to me. I know what it's all about. And get angry when the Yama Dutas are protesting. No, because they're devotees, they're Vaishnavas. They don't get perturbed like that. And so they came, they very respectfully and very peacefully inquired, my dear Yama Dutas, so what are these, what was the exact quotation? If you are actually servants of Yamaraj, then you must explain to us the meaning of religious principles and the symptoms of irreligion. You know, they gave them the benefit of the doubt. They said, okay. Because before, the Yamadutas were thinking, these can't be Yamadutas, because they're not abiding by the orders and desires of Yamaraj. So the Vishnu Dutas gave them the benefit of the doubt. They said, okay, if you actually are servants of Yamaraj, then explain these things. Because a servant should be knowledgeable as to the desire and mission of their master. And so then they allow the Yamadutas to justify their activities. They just don't go in condemning and saying this thing and saying that thing. Oh, you have to listen to me because I'm, you know, older, or I'm, you know, senior, or I'm, you know. No, that's not Vaishnava behavior. So, as aspiring devotees, we should always be extremely careful with our activities. Because when we offend another Vaishnava, Krishna takes it very personally. As we can see in the case of Durvasa Muni and Ambarish Maharaj, he takes it very personally. And he won't forgive you. What you have to do is you go and you have to apologize and beg forgiveness from the devotee that you offended. Because this is the most serious thing. Krishna takes it extremely seriously. And also, you should be very cautious of your own activities in how you present yourself. You shouldn't present yourself as some hothead, as some emotional, sentimental person. Because Prabhupada said that people will consider you foolish. They'll insult you and embarrass you when you try to preach. So we have to become educated. We have to educate ourselves into Krishna and Lord Chaitanya's mood as to what their mission is. And we should take up that mission with full knowledge and be proper representatives of Lord Chaitanya and of Krishna. And in that way, then we can preach nicely, and then we can expand nicely. We can help more and more fallen conditioned souls come to understand about Krishna. Where otherwise we'll simply make a mockery of ourselves and no one will take us seriously. And consequently, it'll be much more difficult for people to try to understand Krishna. So I think I'll end there if there's any comments or questions. Yes, Mukunda Prabhu.
Hare Krishna, thank you for the nice class. I was thinking with regards to text 37, and particularly Srila Prabhupada's purport there, that we can see there are analogous circumstances in our own society in which devotees who are all ostensibly devoted to Lord Krishna and Srila Prabhupada nonetheless have disputes about what the Master wants, and each particular camp may be thinking, well, what is this nonsense the other person is saying? So it's a quite relevant topic here, and with regard to the general theme of your class and the importance of appreciating developing and appreciating the 26 qualities of the devotee, which are mentioned in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, I was wondering that in the absence of a universally accepted authority with whom we can interact objectively, basically an acharya of Srila Prabhupada's stature, then how are we going to judge the presence or the absence of these 26 qualities, which are basically general virtues that are necessarily subject to someone's judgment?
Thank you, Prabhu. That's an extremely relevant question. Very challenging at the same time. I'm not fully qualified or expert to answer your question, in my opinion, to your full satisfaction. But I can try to, you know, give some thoughts on that. As far as my understanding, it's best to... first of all, Prabhupada said that he gave everything in his books. So all knowledge that's necessary for how to elevate ourselves to the topmost standard of Krishna consciousness is contained within these books. So in a sense, even though Srila Prabhupada is not physically present anymore, physically manifest, his teachings are still available. And it's still possible to educate ourselves as to what the actual mood of our master is. Because those things that are important are always repeated multiple times. Unimportant things aren't repeated or may not even be mentioned. So something that may be mentioned only once by one tiny little word, for instance, in all his whole compendium of teachings, that shouldn't be grabbed onto as, say, his most important teaching, because that's obviously not the case. Teachings that were important to Prabhupada, he repeated multiple, many, many times, hundreds of times. He didn't just say once. So that's one way of judging, helping to come to a better understanding of the mood of Srila Prabhupada. And it's very important to understand Prabhupada's mood, because he is the Adi Guru. He's the founder Acharya of this whole branch of the Chaitanya tree. Just like Srila Ramanujacharya for the Sri Vaishnavas. He's the Adi Guru for that whole branch, in fact for that whole Sampradaya, basically. So everyone references his teachings and his mood, his mission. In the same way, Prabhupada is the founder Acharya of this branch of the Chaitanya tree, this International Society for Krishna Consciousness. So as the Adi Guru, it's imperative that we understand his mood and mission. And we're actually very fortunate because so much of his teachings have been preserved. They've been recorded, documented, and they're there for us to access. That's why I recommend that everyone get a copy of the Vedabase. Because the Vedabase has all the conversations, has the morning walks, it has the different lectures, it has so many different classes, it has all the texts, all the purports, so many different things. So we have to educate ourselves in what Prabhupada left for us. And we can come to a better understanding of the mood of Prabhupada, of his mission. Now, as to in regard to those 26 qualities, I think initially the most important thing is to actually work on becoming a Vaishnav, to work on becoming a devotee. And then spontaneously, all those 26 qualities will manifest. The more we become in love with Krishna, then the more those qualities will manifest. And so it's not so important to all the time be analyzing and trying to dissect everyone else. Oh, well, you know, you're missing this quality and you're missing that quality. Oh, I knew it. You're a demon. That's not the point. You know, the point is to more work on our own spiritual development, because it's the nature of a Prakriti Bhakta to all the time be trying to find the faults of others. A neophyte devotee, that's typically what neophytes do. And they can become extremely offensive in that process, because they're spending all their time trying to analyze where everyone else stands. They're not so concerned about where they stand, because they think that they're already pure devotees. They're already perfect. They don't need any introspection. So consequently, they spend all their time, oh, well, you did this, and then you did that, and oh, you're a demon, and you're a rascal, and you know, you're a neophyte. Rather, what's more important is to work on our own spiritual development, work on removing all these boulders of anartas from within our own heart. And then gradually we can come to the platform of a Madhyamadikari, an intermediate devotee. Because once we remove enough anartas, then our faith can become firmly fixed in Krishna consciousness. That's the definition of a second-class devotee. Firm faith, fixed, that cannot budge. And then, as we develop more and more, as we progress, then we'll eventually come to the platform where we don't care about, we don't see the imperfections in other people, because we see everyone as a pure devotee. We see everyone as related to Krishna, engaging somehow in Krishna's service. And because we see that connection with Krishna, then we have all respect for that. And we treat them extremely nicely, with all respect, and worshiping them. That's the Uttama Adhikari. Seeing everyone else is more advanced than you yourself are. So I don't know if that fully satisfied your question, but those are just some thoughts of mine.
Very nice answer for a very hard question.
Jai.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna. Arjuna's approval.
One point he brought up was about disputes, and this is ongoing. So Srila Prabhupada said specifically, sometimes there are disagreements between Vaishnavas, only time will tell. In other words, act like a Vaishnava. Not that because I disagree with you, now I want to smash you over the head. And you know, Prabhupada obviously had differences of opinion with his god brothers. Privately, he castigated them. But in public, he was always very warm and, you know, in exchanging with them. That's the mood. You may privately disagree, but he never sent us to picket his god brothers' mats, and, you know, and show them how to do it. And this, no. No, they have a right to pursue Vaishnavism their way, and he established the ISKCON way. And Prabhupada said, I was just listening to a lecture where Prabhupada said, people may wonder, you know, there's so many hundreds of thousands of temples in India, why you have to establish more temples for ISKCON? He said, no, but ISKCON has a right to establish their temples and do things their way. So you don't have to follow. If you don't want to follow the ISKCON way, there's so many other temples, go there. You're free. But Prabhupada wanted to establish ISKCON temples to do things the ISKCON way. And he said, this is the way since time immemorial. When you have an organization, you establish your own temples and do things your way. You have a right to do that, but there are others who don't believe that. They think they should always attack ISKCON and tell us how to do it, when to have our Rath Yatra, when to do this, when to... No! Do it your way. You want to follow Puri Rath Yatra, do that. ISKCON has a right to run Rath Yatra whenever they want to. That's their way. You don't have to agree. You have a right to do things your way and leave us alone.
Okay. Thank you, bro. Very nice comment. Anyone else? All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Ki Jai.